All right. It's 7/7/2026, and welcome to the Wrangell Assembly work session presentation with American Cruise Lines. It looks a little bit different tonight. We have five assembly members off island. So we do have a quorum, however, and you'll see them hopefully pop up here. All right, to start our presentation, I'm going to turn it over to our borough manager, Mason Valarma.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and appreciate everybody coming out tonight. And see, we have some people on the line here. I know that Assembly Member Mock, Dalrymple, and Powers are on the line, so we do got a quorum. And I also am joined with some ACL folks that I'll introduce here in just a bit. Tonight's really, you know, well, it's the best meeting of the year, right? First one. And we have a lot to talk about in terms of economic development this year. This is really the first domino to fall that we're talking about. We can let Paul in there. And we've been working on this American Cruise Line development since April last year. Yes, we'll let Charlie in too. Sorry. We've been working on this partnership with American Cruise Line since basically SeaTrade in April. And then the port director in the room kind of forced me to want to go. And so I met with these guys, and then we ultimately engaged into an MOU shortly after and got this process rolling. But why don't we have the assembly introduce themselves tonight, and then I'll kick it over to ACL for some introductions, and we'll get more into American Cruise Lines.
All right. I'll start. Mayor Patricia Gilbert.
Assembly Member Jim DeBoard.
Assembly Bob. Member Philip Mock.
Okay. Philip, Bob.
Assembly Member Bob Dalrymple.
Who else?
Dan Powers.
Dan? Okay, Dan must be muted.
Am I there?
Yep, you're there.
Assembly Member Dan Powers. Nice to see you all.
That's great. And from our, also on our team, Manager Valarma here, we got Kim Lane, our borough clerk. We have Rob Luce, our borough attorney. We have Steve Miller, our port director here, and we have Kate Thomas, our economic development director, and Amber Aladad, who's just walked in the room for our capital projects. So big team here from the borough. And then I see Charlie's on the line now. Charlie is the CEO of American Cruise Lines, and I'll kick it over to Charlie for some introductions on his team.
All right. Good evening, all. I'm Charlie Robertson. I'm the president of American Cruise Lines. Paul, Jake, Eric, do you guys want to introduce yourselves?
Good evening, all. I'm Paul Takelet, Executive Vice President with American Cruise Lines. Nice to see you all tonight.
Hey, good evening. I'm Eric DeSalt, Director of Port Development Lines.
Good evening. Jake Matero, Contracts Administrator for American Cruise Lines.
Great. I think that's everybody. And I just want to thank American Cruise Lines for joining us tonight. I know it's 9:30 East Coast time, so we'll try to keep an efficient meeting for you guys tonight. Again, kind of starting back to where we started, met these folks, Scott, one of their VPs at the SeaTrade conference back in April, really hit it off knowing that American Cruise Line already had a good foothold here in Wrangell. Last year, for example, they had 31 port calls. Many of us are familiar with their very, you know, small ships in comparison to many of the vessels we bring into city dock, about 170 passenger ships. The American Constitution and Constellation are the ones folks would probably be most familiar with. So we kind of started that relationship over the summer. We engaged into an MOU that kind of spelled out the framework that we were going to look at into evaluating expansion and economic development opportunities together, which we've done in a very robust and public fashion. So after the MOU, we got a lease agreement application that went out to the boards and commissions for a recommendation. They all unanimously approved to move forward. And at that point, we entered negotiations into a lease agreement. And that is that very lease agreement, something we'll be looking into tonight, kind of doing a higher level overview for folks to get an understanding of what the contents of that lease agreement looks like. And then we'll be voting on it, or the assembly rather will be voting on it a little bit later tonight.
Correct.
So I'll try to.
And you just finished negotiations.
Yeah, we did. I think that, well, Jake really went through the gamut with me. We probably went through, well, truly about 11 drafts altogether since the last couple of months. Eric went through a lot of it too, and Charlie. So appreciate them sticking with us through the process, and you know, if we pass it tonight, we beat Petersburg. Just got to throw a little jab in there for Petersburg. And so nice to have everybody together tonight. So Charlie, I don't know if it'd be appropriate. Why don't you give us a little bit about American Cruise Lines, where you guys have footprints in across the country? Maybe talk a little bit about your expansion plans into Alaska and growth trajectory. And then I'll get into the weeds on the lease agreement a bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. And thank you all for giving us a little bit of time tonight. This agreement has come together really nicely over the past year and a half or so. And Mason's been great to work with, as has been everyone in Wrangles. We've been operating there for years. So thank you. American Cruise Lines has 22 small ships around the country, and we're introducing new ships that we build ourselves at a rate of 3 per year. And so that's put us on a pretty fast growth trajectory in the small ship market. We're now pretty solidly the second biggest small ship river cruise line in the world, and growing at a fast pace to give Viking a run for their money. But this under 200 type market is really good for us, and we believe a lot in it. And so we want to continue introducing ships across the country, including Alaska. This year, we brought our second ship to Alaska. The American Constitution joined the Constellation, and that's how we got to 31 dockings this year. In 2028, we want to introduce the third ship in Alaska and introduce roughly one ship a year after that. And so in order to do this, we've identified the need to invest in our port infrastructure. We need to know that we can dock these ships if they're going to be running there, and that we have good, safe, secure tying arrangements in each port of call. And we have a track record with this elsewhere around the country, probably most notably on the Columbia and Snake River, where we've grown from one ship in 2015 to six ships in 2026. And that's been the surge of our growth since the pandemic. And it's also been the surge of our investment in port infrastructure projects. And we've built or been involved in building six docks on the Columbia and Snake Rivers. And so now we're using that model now in Alaska. And this project is sort of our flagship project in Alaska, and is the first one that's getting near the finish line here in terms of solidifying the agreement, but we hope can serve as a model in other communities around Alaska too, as we want to operate these ships out of Ketchikan, Juneau currently, and hopefully one day out of Wrangell, as we've talked about with Mason a fair amount. But this project really came together really nicely. I think it's got say roughly 50-50 in terms of the capital investment with the work that the borough is doing in the upland side of it and building the rock jetty, and then what we're doing to build the dock and the in-water piece of the work. And so we're each putting some skin in the game. And then I think on the coming out of the construction project, we each have a lot of incentive to make the dock work really well. And we're each getting, roughly half of the benefit of the dock. I think we get to operate cruises there. The borough gets the economic impact of our passengers. And then the borough has full control of the dock when we're not using it in the off season, which I think is when it might be busier with either fishing boats or shipyard type projects. And so I think that the model there kind of makes sense. And as we've discussed it, it seems like a really strong match that I think has come together pretty nicely in the agreement now. So we've been in Wrangell for quite a while, and we really like you guys. We're comfortable with everything that's happened, and we're very, very excited for the future.
Great. Thank you, Charlie. I appreciate that kind of overview of American Cruise Lines. I'll kind of kick it to talking about our waterfront, and this was inspired by Steve Miller tonight, but this is a 1992 drawing of our waterfront from the Wrangell Engineering Department, which is kind of funny because it looks like it's done in colored pencil, which 1992, you think probably be a little bit ahead of the game than that. but it's for a long, long time. You know, that was the point in time where they wanted to put the boat hall out across the front of the waterfront here. So it was proposed to be filled out just as we're kind of proposing tonight. And for folks that want to take a look at that later tonight, happy to share. You know, the economic development director and I have a lot of times referred to Wrangell's time frame right now as a golden opportunity with as many puzzle pieces we have up in the air. When we look at the barge lines, when we look at this relationship with American Cruise Lines, and now getting into really great conversations with JAG Marine Group about a really large scale shipyard to service the Coast Guard fleet and large scale vessels in the military. And this is a really key and like I said, the very first component of a robust economic development strategy for the borough, something that we haven't seen for quite some time. So we're pretty excited to deliver tonight. Mechanically, our partnership, I think this, and I think the guys on the phone would agree here, that it's a pretty custom fit relationship, our lease agreement. I would say that it's probably a little bit unconventional compared to some of the lease agreements that I've reviewed that they have in other ports, which, you know, is a little bit of a testament of the partnership and the lengths they're willing to go to make it work here in Wrangell. So I want to start by kind of going through the lease agreement. Hopefully those in the audience tonight had a chance to review that in the packet, which is in the main meeting. The term of this lease is for 40 years with 3 5-year extensions. So really long-term lease. It's the maximum permissible in our municipal code. And over those 55 years, there's an enormous financial benefit to the borough. And it is really the impetus and for us to be able to expand our waterfront, be able to fill out our waterfront and maximize value there. Obviously, we don't have much of a waterfront here in Wrangell, and it's a characteristic of Southeast communities to develop their waterfronts for economic benefits and the visitor industry. But beyond that, expansion of our marine service center is also our plan, and other port resiliency down here. And then when we get out to the mill property, a lot of other activities as well. So a really great segue into the lease agreement financial terms. So the base rent for this lease agreement is $50,000. That's the base starting point. It'll be there's kind of some guardrails on the base rent. It's about 3% each year over a 5-year period, and then an adjustment, or it's 10% of the reappraisal after year 5. And so it's the lesser of those two values as we work our way through the 55-year lease. So that's the main, the base rent. On top of that, there's a pledged minimum passenger wharfage in here of based off of 6,000 passengers at 150 passenger ships at 40 calls. So of that, there's a passenger wharfage fee within this agreement, starts at $7, and in 2028, it jumps up to $10 per head. So that's a minimum of $60,000 in passenger wharfage, although I think their plans for growth will exceed that minimum passenger wharfage altogether. So it's quite possible that, you know, down the line, our relationship yields 8,000 passengers here in Wrangell, and they would, of course, pay the head tax on that figure. The head tax is inflation adjusted, or the passenger wharfage. I'm using those kind of synonymously, but it is inflation adjusted at CPI, but capped at 3%. So we'll look at anchored CPI to adjust that each year. So everything in here, and I think that's kind of a prevailing theme in the lease agreement, is we've tried to inflation proof everything, all the terms in here. So over this 55 years that not only ACL and ourselves can forecast what our budgets will look like, but have some kind of guarantees down the line that we're operating in a sustainable fashion. So we talked about base rent, passenger wharfage. They have committed, commensurate to all of our other lease agreements across the borough to pay possessory interest, or basically property taxes on the lease, sales taxes and utility fees. So that's a significant revenue boost for the borough. And then we have the revenue share. So ACL mechanically, they're building this dock facility, and we're responsible for filling out the portion of Tidelands to give them access to this. Otherwise, they'd just be leasing water with no access. So we both have some obligations to perform in that respect. And in that, once the facility is constructed, each party will stand to gain 50% of the fees generated off that facility. So any third-party users that take place and use this as a docking facility would be charged, and then we would end up taking 50% of that to the borough, 50% to American Cruise Lines. And as we kind of venture into this new era of economic development, there's a lot of opportunities in season and out of season. We look at this new relationship we're forging with JAG Marine Group. They want to work on Coast Guard cutters and icebreakers here in Southeast Alaska, among a host of other commercial, large-scale commercial vessels. And so that's an opportunity to do some pier side work at this new facility. I know that American Cruise Lines is potentially excited about that. That City Dock's also capable of doing such a thing. And then certainly the mill property if we continue down the trajectory that we're on. So the revenue share is 50-50, like I said. When we look at scheduling for third-party use, it's a really good partnership approach. For those that aren't as familiar with how we schedule it here with the cruise lines in the summertime, Cruise Line Agencies of Alaska schedules all the calls at City Dock, and then the ports and harbors will fill in kind of the blanks for those that the Cruise Line Agencies doesn't schedule. So it's not characteristic for us to manage our own schedule for some of our facilities. So American Cruise Lines will be creating the schedule for the summer months, and we'll be creating the schedule for the winter months. So they'll generate a schedule for in-season cruise, and then we'll, subject to our approval, we'll confirm that. And then on the flip side, in the wintertime, we'll generate the schedule kind of subject to their approval. So it's a really great partnership that's incentivized to take a 50% revenue share off for each component. You know, I should also mention, with the increased passenger volumes we believe that will come out of this port expansion, there will be an excess sales tax. Hard to quantify in overall financial modeling, but I think that, you know, we'll see excess sales tax between $20,000 and $30,000 as a result of this too. So a good thing from a financial perspective, it certainly will cover our bond proceeds for filling out the portion relevant to American Cruise Line and then some. So certainly a positive NPV for us, and a great rate of return. Kind of talking a little bit about maintenance obligation, generally it falls on American Cruise Lines. We have pledged to doing day-to-day operating maintenance for them. So obviously it's snowy season right now. Ports and harbors would be there to plow, some of the pressure washing, those types of activities. The way the lease agreement handles those activities is that the ports and harbors will keep track of their time and materials and then go ahead and bill them, and that will be reduced from their revenue share. So effectively, we'll be taking from that 50% bucket of their revenue share off the top, and then everything residual will go back to the borough and ACL respectively. So ACL's responsible for all major maintenance and capital repair and replacement. So we won't be stuck with kind of the scenario we are with our barge ramp right now, where nobody's saving for replacement, and now we have this derelict asset on our hands. And you know, that's not something that anybody wants. And, you know, we have probably $200 million in harbor assets across the board. We have three large municipal harbors. We have a giant city dock, a giant marine service center, and now we're expanding into a mill property. So it's unreal. That was something that was top of mind as we approached this agreement, is making sure that we don't commit to something that we can't follow through on in the long run, especially with a lease agreement of this term. So that's maintenance. Charlie had mentioned incentives to turning and wrangle. So that's kind of the golden.
Explain that to the public, turning and wrangle.
Yeah. So right now, American Cruise Lines, my understanding is they turn predominantly in Juneau. You might turn in Ketchikan too. I'm not aware that you do though. And that means that folks are flying in from lower 48 or wherever they're coming in from, and actually staying a night in the hotel there. And before they board their American Cruise Line itinerary, and oftentimes they're flying out of that same port. So obviously there's a huge economic benefit to having passengers turn here and wrangle, whether it's just one way or both ways. And so that's something that we've tried to incentivize in this agreement. So for every passenger that does turn here and wrangle for future itineraries, essentially the head tax would be void for those passengers. So kind of creating a nice incentive for them over the time, because we believe the economic benefit of turning passengers here, bringing on another hotel and accommodations for the summertime to meet their needs would be a significant economic benefit to the community. So that's a nice thing. We also, you know, this is kind of getting into the weeds a little bit, but I think it's important to mention, we talked a lot about default provisions and what happens. You know, I think that it's important to cover off on all the worst case scenarios. Not saying that Charlie's company will ever go bankrupt. We'll hopefully never be in that situation, but we have to look at those kind of things and do the due diligence. So if there's any default after construction in the first 20 years, if it's a true default and the lease agreement's terminated, that infrastructure becomes the city and borough of Wrangell's completely. If it's after 20 years, it retains with them, and they're there to pull that infrastructure at the borough assembly's discretion. Now, when we get into construction, Kind of same thing, if there was a termination in construction and there was kind of half-baked infrastructure out in our waterfront, it'd be up to the assembly to have them pull that infrastructure at their cost. And then up into construction, there's really no hard and fast performance obligations set by the parties. So overall, we'll fill when ACL is comfortable and gives us the go-ahead that they're going to follow through on their side, and vice versa. So that's kind of the overview of the lease terms. And I guess the biggest thing that I missed is that this will be a public facility overall. So we've negotiated in this agreement that this is going to be a facility that can be used as a drive down dock, something that the community's wanted for quite some time. Petersburg's got one, Ketchikan's got maybe one or two. And so it'd be really nice to be able to have, you know, folks be able to use that, commercial fishermen be able to use that, folks at the Marine Service under that want to do some kind of pier side work out there. So a great economic benefit and public use that's kind of an intangible to the borough. So we're happy to bring that home. I can kind of pause there and see if the assembly has any questions or if staff want to add anything overall. If American Cruise Line wants to add anything on kind of the lease terms, maybe I missed something. And then I can kind of talk a little bit about the project and the timeline of how we suspect things will flow.
Assembly, any questions?
Okay, I think we're good. Did we hit it right, Jake?
Yeah, that was everything. A lot of conversations back and forth, but it all came to a very good agreement. And like everyone has said, it was a pleasure working with you through this.
Great. So we'll talk a little bit about the timeline. So the assembly this last summer authorized bond proceeds to be issued as in the form of a revenue bond. That doesn't mean it's paid for by taxpayers in any way. It means it's paid for by the ports and harbors revenues over time. For $4 million for the waterfront fill project. The P&D estimate for this project was $2.5 million, which yields a debt service of approximately $183,000 in debt service. Again, this project and the development with American Cruise Lines will more than pay for the debt service of that and yield a positive NPV over time. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that develops and changes over time, because it's, you can't assume every single year, but we have a good modeling forecast of what the return is, and it is a fairly positive return for the borough. So we will have those bond proceeds. We'll have those issued in between March and April. The bond bank, Alaska Municipal Bond Bank, that packages our debt is still uncertain on the exact timing. What we'd like to do in the perfect world is competitively solicit for bids on filling out our waterfront and pricing our bonds at the same time. That way we're bonding for the exact amount that we require to execute the project plus a little contingency. We'll see how that all works out. Once we get the green light from American Cruise Lines that we're all in and they're in good shape to execute their side of construction, we'll go ahead and fill out the desired area, at which point when we complete, they will hopefully have their core permitting done. I know that they'll likely be submitting applications to the core this month, so we can get that 6 to 9 month ball rolling, and then they'll come in and start developing the port infrastructure necessary to accommodate their vessels. So, and really, they, in a good faith effort, they've already really started that. Many people have seen the American Empress out there at the mill property, having the superstructure removed off of it. That was originally a 360-foot paddle wheeler, and it'll be reduced down to a 300-foot platform to be used as a floating dock for this facility. Essentially, there'll be four large pilings bolting that down, and then we will have a separate transaction for repurposing our existing barge ramp for this facility, given it's not rated for its intended use. And so this will be a lot less weight for crossing over that, and that'd be a great use to extend the life of that asset and the use of it. So hopefully we all complete. Our goal is to be complete as partners by May of 2027. That's kind of when they plan to be 1 year before their big expansion and bringing on another ship in Alaska. And certainly will improve their guest experience, being right there and having some access to the downtown Wrangell and right next to our Nolan Center. So that's a bit on the timeline, and I'd entertain any other thoughts from assembly members or American Cruise Lines or anybody that has anything.
For the public, we will go into our special meeting at 6 p.m. and we have two opportunities to ask questions or comment on this, persons to be heard. And then we're going to have a public hearing on this lease option with ACL, and that you also have opportunity to testify or ask questions. Again, this lease is on page 10, I believe, in our agenda. If you go online, it's all spelled out there. Yes.
And the one other comment, I was talking to Bruce Smith in the back before the meeting, and he was talking about, you know, where are you guys going to get the fill for the project, which is a great—
That's a good question.
Which is a great question. So it's likely that a contractor would use the fill out at the airport rock pit. There's about 450,000 yards already on the ground and blasted, which is a super significant volume. This project is slated for somewhere between 125,000, 150,000 yards if we were to fill all the way from the barge ramp abutment existing all the way over to the mill dock existing. So we have more than enough rock out there. The state charges $1.75 per yard royalty for that rock, which is far cheaper than, you know, having rock coming in off the highway several miles out of town. And then again, you know, you can have a barge right there at the airport to load up the rock and fill it from the water side. So some good partnership there with the state to allow us to do that. And that will be an option for folks as they look at competitively bidding on this project. So I appreciate the question, Bruce, because we want to try to make this thing as cheap as possible. It only helps our return in the long run. Anything else?
Assembly. I'll ask a question that a community member asked me.
Yeah.
With the situation with Samson barge, you know, if that dock is damaged somehow, what provision do we have?
What dock are you talking about?
The where Samson is doing business now.
Oh, at the mill. At the mill dock or
yeah.
At the T dock?
Yeah, right there.
So if I mean, we're insured for the dock existing right now.
Right.
And we won't pull the barge ramp because that's kind of a backup option until we have complete comfort that we're going to move forward with construction. However, the concrete T dock, unlikely that would be damaged to that degree, fairly new facility. It's quite possible the old mill dock, there could be some pilings pulled or something like that, but we would make quick repairs to be able to provide access.
Okay. So there's no danger. Essentially,
yeah,
no doubt.
There's always the risk, you know. There's certainly been some barge incidents in the recent months here. We've been paying attention. I guess I don't need to get into them, but we'll definitely be prepared. We're insured for those events.
Neat. Anything ACL would like to add?
I don't think there's anything additional. Mason covered it really well. So thank you again.
Yeah, I would just like to thank Mason if we could. I mean, Mason, I'm not sure the assembly understands how much time we've spent with Mason to get to this point the last 5 months. So thank you, Mason, for weekends, nights, and all your hard work on this. We truly appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thank you to the American Cruise Line team. I mean, it's really promising to see a relationship that's so collaborative and well coordinated along the way. It's been really nice to get to know these guys and develop a good product for the community at Wrangell, but also for them. That's the beauty of this partnership. And I was kind of joking. I think I need to find some other partners over in Hawaii or something, because these guys will call me at 5 a.m. talking about American Cruise Line. So it's been a good relationship, but we're getting you back tonight because it's almost 10 o'clock your time. So thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to close this work session. And does anyone object? I'm going to start our special meeting a minute early. All right, let's go.